This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find in a previous surah we spoke about the destruction of nations, of people, of tribes, of those people who rebelled or disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. Do you see any signs or remnants of these individuals? And from last week to this week, we can see certain signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of how, if we can use such a word linguistically, of destruction, as some people may interpret it, as taking place on the face of this earth, whether it be the land of Afghanistan or Bangladesh at the moment, the earthquake that took place there, or the floods inside Bangladesh. Because some of us may interpret this as a form of punishment or punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that could be one reason amongst many reasons that these things begin to exist in the face of this earth. As we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His wisdom, will show His qudra, His quwwah, His power, His might and His glory and His dominance and His power in the face of this earth. Not every time destruction, as I mentioned linguistically, that comes in the face of this earth, that many of us, even Muslims, we have a mindset it means because these people, they are sinful individuals. They're bad individuals. This has become, unfortunately, a common mindset amongst many Muslims, that every time people suffer, there must be an underlying issue that these people have deviated away from the path. So they deserve to be suffered. They deserve to go through this punishment. It's a mindset, unfortunately, of many of us Muslims. That's the way that we engage and we see things on the face of this earth. This is only one of the many reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends certain things on the face of this earth, amongst the other reasons that we don't look at the flip side of the coin, that we become judge and jury, we play God on the face of this earth. That there's other reasons as well. There could be hikmah that to awaken the rest of us Muslims, that the suffering that people go through for us to give us a chance to awaken ourselves, to do good deeds, to do charitable actions, to do welfare, societal work, to begin to reflect, as Allah mentions, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Don't they repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't they reflect? That's why Allah places this inside the Quran, that punishment, if we use these words linguistically, in a generic meaning, is for us to reflect upon this. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentions inside Surah Tawbah, أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't you see that every once in a year, every 6 months, twice in a year, we place afflictions and calamities and difficulties and obstacles, trials, tribulations on the face of this earth? For what purpose? So they may repent back to Allah, seek forgiveness. So it's not always, as some people try to display inside society, that these people, because maybe their aqidah is wrong, maybe their madhab is wrong, maybe they're deviated, maybe they're full of innovations. That's just one spectrum of a long list of reasons. That's just one of many reasons that Allah allows it. The wisdom of Allah also, that the world begins to galvanize around them, whereby they down-preach, demonize these people. Now the world will see them in a different light, that they suffer just like everybody else suffers. Just like Ukraine is suffering, that we care about this. Now humanity says, oh, they're suffering as well. Where was the humanity before? Where was the humanity before? Where was the same spectrum of dealing with human beings as we deal with human beings? When millions are killed in World War I and World War II, Rwanda genocide that we find, Holocaust that we find, millions are killed, executed, persecuted. Who speaks about that? Muslims speak about that. Spanish Inquisition, where did the Jews flee to? Where did they flee? Where did they go? Who gave them shelter? Who gave them rest? It's us Muslims. But see, you see, many of us don't see the double standard in the face of this earth. Because why? It's not because we're an Asian ethnic origin or minority. That's not the reason. Because people in Albania and Kosovo and Bosnia, they were the fairest of fairest individuals, the blondest of the blonde, the blue eyes of the blue-eyed individuals. What's the reason? The core crux that we need to understand. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ. Those who persecute the believing men and women, they don't persecute us because necessarily the colour of our skin. That's one element of persecution that we find, racism on the face of this earth that still exists. Institutionalised racism, that's what they call it. It exists on this day, it exists there. But we believe in humanity. We believe in anybody who suffers, that we ply for them, we cry out for them. But they don't cry out for us. Because we're Muslims. Because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the core reason. That's why I apply is shelved away. It's put away right the back shelf. It's shelved away. And you can see these statements, what they say about us. They don't have the same rights as those people in Ukraine. Those people suffering. Listen to the language that they use. But it's, we're the same human being. We're the same human race. We go through the same sufferings they go through. We care about the human race. They don't care about the human race. They care about their own selves. And we as Muslims need to understand the global message of Islam. That as we squabble amongst ourselves, that we begin to dissect Muslims and look down upon other Muslims, that this is the reason why they're suffering. That's partially true. But there's many other hikam wisdoms behind that, why they suffer, that we should reflect upon that. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an opportunity for us to rectify our faith, our belief, our conviction, and see the immense wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he alternates things from last week to this week. That it kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'an. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things can change. Al amr bayn al kafi wa noon kun fa yakun. Be and it is. Allah alternates wa tilka al ayyamu nudawiluha bayn al nas. These are days that we alternate between people. A day for them, a day for you. But the end day and always the day is always for whom? Wa kalimatullah hiya al ulya. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always remains dominant, remains powerful. That's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either we assist that, not that Allah needs our assistance, we go towards that, that we believe in that kalima, we have that conviction, we have that belief. Like why are we thriving as Muslims today? Read history. Why are we thriving as Muslims? Sacrifice of whom? Sacrifice of the companions. Hardly any of the companions are buried inside Medina. Sacrifice of the Prophet alayhi salam, his long vision. Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, what he saw, making peace, making pacts, making agreements to see the long-term vision of what to create inside a society. It's a society of stability, serenity, peace, tranquility. That's what Islam is. That's what Islam will do in the face of this earth. We give tamkeen al-ard. The only thing that will give peace on the face of this earth, centuries, not just a small spectrum of time, centuries, 8 centuries, 6 centuries of core belief, dominance and power is what Islam gave to people. And so this baqiyah, that signs are left, remnants are left of those people that Allah totally destroyed. But sometimes Allah destroys certain things to awaken us, as we mentioned. Punishment during the night that happened inside Afghanistan during the night. Show how Allah can destroy things. Punishment during the daytime. The floods inside Bangladesh show how He can control everything. All these are athar, signs. Man ashaddu minna quwwa, who's more powerful than us? Signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the most powerful. He's the all-powerful. He's the only one. He's the one that we submit to. He's the one that we call, we embrace and ask that to alleviate, take us from this and don't destroy us like you destroyed the previous nations. And the only way that the destruction can be taken away, uplifted, is when we turn back to our deen. That's why the previous surah spoke about people who reject the last day. And today's surah, Surah Al-Ma'arij, it begins by speaking about the same concept. سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ. The one who asked the question about the punishment. Many ulama said this questioning is a form of sukhriya. It's not a genuine question that when is the last day going to come or about the punishment. That's what some of the ulama says to speak about another Ibn Harith. That he's trying to pose this question as a mockery, as a joke. Just like many non-Muslims say, oh, when is the last day? When will it come? We'll see about it. Even some Muslims say, we'll see when the last day comes. We'll see when the day of judgment comes. We'll see what happens in that day. That we'll see. Sofa nara. We'll see when the last day comes, what happens in the last day. Let us just live for today. Let us just enjoy our lives today. This enjoying this life for today is what weakens, as we mentioned, the concept of al-akhirah, about the last day. The more weaker the concept of the last day, the more stronger you may become on this world that you perceive to be. But the more weaker your chest, your cavity, your mind, your heart, your soul becomes in that quest, in that search, to find peace and tranquility, you never find it. Because it's away, it's aloof, away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, that is surah Allah mentions, فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُودُ وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمُهُمُ الَّذِي كَانْ يُعَدُوا. Leave them alone to let them play and enjoy their lives until the promised day it comes upon these individuals. يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. Let them come out as corpses, مِنَ الْقُبُورِ, come out their graves. Then they're going to be rushing towards their destination. Look how the Quran it depicts it. That when they come out their graves as dead zombies, corpses, They're going to come out. Then they're going to start running towards their destination. It's too late that time. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُعَدُونَ. That's the day that they've been promised. So the surah Al-Haqqa Al-Ma'arij, the theme, it continues. It completes the picture. It completes the picture whereby in the previous surah it spoke about being given the record inside one's right hand or one's left hand. And here when the record is given, وَصَحِبَتِي وَأَخِي وَفَصِيلَتِي لَتِي تُؤْوِي وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِي. The person, when they're given their record, then the person's going to flee away from their companion, from their friend, everybody around them. Everybody's going to flee and want to rescue themselves with everything on the face of this earth. ثُمَّ يُنْجِي. To try to rescue themselves. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَظَى نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. كَلَّا نَي. This is lava. This is one of the names of Jahannam. Seven names of Jahannam mentioned in the Quran. This is a fierce blazing fire. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. It burns right down to the core. It burns the inner element of the brain. The fire goes right deep down. That's when Allah describes al-hutama. Describes how deep the fire is. Goes into the chest. Goes into the heart. Goes into the bone. Goes into the core. And it burns the individual. That's what the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Narullah al-muqadar. Ignited fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does Allah mention this inside the Quran? Why does Allah make us be fearful? Because fear leads to ibadah. As Ibn Taymiyyah says, that's what fear does. Fear takes you towards ibadah. Fear isn't just to shed some tears, which is a good concept. That's the beginning path. That's the beginning of fear. It's to weep and to cry. But the end result is what? Is the action. That's why it's attributed to Ibn Taymiyyah and other ulama as well. Don't look at the beginning of a human being. Don't look at the beginning of the human being. Look at khatimuhu. Look at his end. Look at the end of an individual. Because we're so busy always nitpicking every individual. Oh, but he was like this. He was like this. He done this. He done this. He done that. Why don't you look at the end of the individual? Why don't you look at the end of their life? The final moments of their life. The final years of their life. What were they then at that moment in time? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Actions are judged via their intentions. And judge opposite hadith it mentioned via their ending. The ending of an individual. That's what stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's as we mentioned, we began with, we play judge, jury, we play God on this earth. It's a sickness in our society. It needs to be uprooted. It's a deep sickness. Because every other day, that's all that you hear. But this, but this, but he's like this, he's like this, he's like that, she's like this. But maybe they could get punished for this. Who gives us the right to play God on the face of this earth? Just like you don't make tashbih in the sifat and names and attributes of Allah. Don't make tashbih in his judgment. Don't equate yourself that you can make judgment about God. You don't have no right. No one has that right. That's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He punishes whomever he wants. And he forgives whomever he wants. That's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can only highlight this action leads towards destruction. It leads towards sins. It leads towards punishment. It leads towards something. It could harm you inside your grave, inside al-akhirah. That's all that you can see. That's all you can highlight. Al-isharat. Highlight this could be the dangerous end of such actions. As for to conclude that this is going to be the end of a Muslim, then this is dangerous belief. The only thing that can be concluded is the opposite, which we don't do. Those people who disbelieve, and their disbelief is clear cut. That's when you conclude that those individuals from a serum ila nar. But look at our belief. We twist it around. We go around making excuses, having moments of silence for people that their disbelief is clear cut. Their disbelief is clear cut. But people have moments of silence for them, moments of respect for them. We do have moments of respect for them. But we can't conclude that they're going to go to Jahannam. It's something difficult at times. The Prophet Abu Talib, who helped him, who supported him throughout his life. How do you think he felt? How do you think he felt when his own uncle is now being given the promise he's going to go? He said, say this kalima. وَحَاجُكَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Just say this one kalima, this one word, لا إله إلا الله. And I will argue in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Just say this one word, this one kalima. He refused. He stopped saying it because the entourage around him, the Quraysh, the elite people around him, saying, no, don't give up your faith. Don't weaken inside your faith. So he died upon that belief. And what's the least punishment? That he wear two boiling sandals or shoes or straps around his feet and make his brain boil. And that's the shifa'ah, the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ that he done for Abu Talib. This is khas. This is only for the Prophet ﷺ that he done that. That intercession is allowed for him to do for his uncle Bayy because of his defense of this deen. His protection of his nephew. That's only for the Prophet ﷺ. And the rest of the disbelieving individuals, for them, the fire is destined for them if they don't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what good deeds they do in the face of this earth, their good deeds are invalidated because that's pure shirk that they have, pure disbelief, pure rejection. That's why we mentioned Mu'lamul Quran, it's always speaking about rejection. Rejection of Allah, rejection of signs of Allah, questioning Allah, denying Allah, being arrogant towards Allah. Is that this questioning mind is inside our heart and our mind. Why does Allah do this? Why did Allah do this? Why did Allah legislate this? Why did the Quran say this? Why did the Prophet ﷺ tell us to do this? Why? Why is it always why? وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. The believers of those interviews say, we hear and we obey. We don't question. That's why you find Abdullah ibn Abbas, he mentioned that inside the Quran, there's only 11 or 12 questions inside the Quran. يَسْأَلُونَكَ. It only occurs 11 or 12 times inside the Quran. That's the only time they ask questions. And even study those questions. It's to benefit society, to benefit people. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you about wine, about intoxicants and gambling. So society can benefit. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you about the menstrual cycle, so the society can benefit. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the soul. So society can benefit. So even a questioning is a beneficial questioning. And like here, سَعَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ. This questioning isn't beneficial. Because this person and these people, they don't want to get to the end result. They're trying to make al-istihza, a mockery about what's going to take place inside the last day. Or those people who believe inside the last day, to undermine such individuals about their belief. So this surah, سَعَلَ سَائِلٌ, as Ibn Kathir who mentions, or the most common name, Surah Al-Ma'arij. The ascension that we find. And so inside this surah, it gives the cure. Twice inside this surah, it highlights what is the cure and a list of all the things we need to do to get to Jannah. It lists them quite clearly, categorically. These are the bad traits of the human being. And these are the good traits for you to get to paradise. What you need to do. And the other meaning of al-ma'arij, you find, is al-mi'raj. The same concept, the same verb or the same noun or the verbal format that we find is the ascension. The ascension of the Prophet ﷺ, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when he made the night journey. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu was-Sami'ul Basir. In the beginning of Surah al-Isra'il, or al-Isra, or Bani Israel is the other name. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took his servant, took him from Mecca all the way to Masjid al-Aqsa. That's the night journey. Then from there, he made the ascension. From Baytul Maqdis made the ascension, Al-Mi'raj, made the ascension to the heavens. And what was given in the heavens? What was given in the heavens? Final two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah that we find. And what was imposed? Only one commandment, one action is imposed inside paradise that was given to the Prophet ﷺ is As-Salah, is the prayer. And that's why inside the Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah describes the prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Twice Allah mentions the same surah in the context, speaking about the believing individuals. This is the core journey of the believer. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. دَائِمُونَ. Not here, not there, once in a while. The default position of a Muslim is to pray. That's it, finish. There's no discussion about this. That maybe is this, is that, that the default position. Every single, the only thing the companions saw kufr of. Only thing they saw that disbelief is a man who doesn't pray. That's the only thing. Ajma' al-Sahaba alayhi. A man who doesn't pray, that's a clear symbol of a disbelieving individual. Apart from there's niqash in the ulama wal-fuqaha. They debate about many things. But this is the essence about as-salah. That's what we need to rakkiz al-salah, focus upon prayer. Rather than as many of us that focus on certain external elements of the prayer. Which we rightfully should do. But we're so, once again, our minds is so bogged in tune with just that inside our lives. Where are da'imun? Where are people for Salatul Fajr? Where are they for Salatul Fajr? Where are they? So worried about technicalities about the prayer. That's why Allah has laid out certain things to do to show symbols of believing individuals. Even a salah, no matter what happens to a person inside their life, should not leave a salah. And just to narrate some strange things that people that we met, just to highlight the quest of when they understand what salah is. People about to do haram or sitting with the opposite gender, maybe involved in something, but they stand up when they read their salah. People trafficking drugs have stood up, read their salah. A person inside a nightclub walked out the nightclub, prayed his salah, went straight back inside it. Person might say, this is ajib, this is strange. But why? Because I understand no matter what sins I commit on the face of this earth, if I leave this one thing, that's I'm doomed. And most of these people, when you come back to them, you've seen that they have abandoned those evil actions. It took them a matter of time to abandon it, but they had that instilled within them that no matter what I'm doing right now, it's time for salah. People said to me quite clearly, they're inside the cinema watching a movie, time for Maghrib, they're not going to run out, they've just walked out, gone to the side, read their salah. Maybe you could make a mockery and a joke about it, what kind of salah is that? But they have that belief, that conviction, that it leads them out. And like it's people when people that miss salah. Why do you think people feel so emotional about it? It was a great discussion about qada or salah, about abandoning the prayer or prayers you missed inside your life. But some people feel so emotionally about that. I miss so many salawat inside my life. What should I do? And I was trying to comfort the individual that Allah forgives. He pardons whatever happened. He literally began to weep. He said, no. No, I need to make these prayers up in my life. I missed 10 years. I'm going to make them up. You can argue with him. Say that technically, yes, you're probably going to be forgiven. But he has that conviction that 10 years I never prayed. That I'm going to ask about this in front of Allah. I need to make it up. So we can give the technical answer. But his emotional feeling deep down inside his heart, he feels remorseful. He feels remorseful that I did not submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside my life. I need to make this up inside my life. That's the remorse we should feel about missing salah inside our lives. Some of the fuqaha mentioned, walau salah wahida. Amdan, a person misses one salah intentionally. Some of the fuqaha mentioned, well, this is a minor view, but just to wake us up, one salah you miss in your life intentionally for anta kafir, your disbeliever. It's a minor view. But that's how deep they discuss it. One salah you miss intentionally inside your life. So we should be worried about this inside our lives. وَالَّذِينَهُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ They preserve, they guard their prayers. They preserve it. They're worried about it. That's why Allah mentions in this surah, this is the bonding between the believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the bond. أَسِلَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ Between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't make a mockery about it. Don't make a joke about it. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ Stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an observant manner in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's these individuals who ask this questioning as a mockery. That's why they say, what's your salah going to do? Look what they say to Shu'ayb alayhi salam. Does your salah prevent you from the harms and benefit you inside society? They make a mockery about salah. Just like today, people, Muslims may say, oh, just go read your salah. Go and read your salah then. These are kalimat al-istihza. You find mockery al-istihza bil-Qur'ani wa-sunnah wa-sha'ir illayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make a joke about the symbols of Allah is kufr. To make a joke about the symbols of Allah is heading towards disbelief. And we see that many times if a person doesn't do certain things inside their life, that's your personal belief or your personal issue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to rectify. But if a person dresses in a certain attire to conform with the sunnah, a Muslim woman wears the hijab, wears the niqab, or whatever she does, why is she doing it? They should be saying that, you know, maybe I don't agree with this. I have a weakness of faith. They have this belief. They have this conviction. They've understood the Quran in this light, in this meaning. And that's the most strongest view. And they want to live in that life. But when a woman decides to cover herself, then avail herself inside society, it becomes an issue inside society. An issue for many of us Muslims as well. It becomes an issue whereby we should be encouraging things inside our society, even though we may have a deficiency within our own selves. It's a mockery of the last day. That we should be wary about this in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Quran, it speaks about these individuals who make a mockery. And Allah only mentions, سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ. It doesn't say who this individual is. Ibn ulama al-tafasir mentions Nadr ibn Harith, but Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah, he mentions that certain names are not mentioned inside the Quran. For what purpose? Because the names, identities are not important. It's the concept. It's the concept that's important. You need to avoid that. Do this and avoid that inside your life. You don't need to search of what every single individual inside the Quran. When the Quran wants to speak about certain individuals, I only spoke about two individuals amongst the Quraysh. He spoke about Abu Lahab, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab bin Watab, by name. And he spoke about Zayd, a believer inside Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran. Apart from no other individual is mentioned inside the Quran from amongst the companions. And in Fir'aun, it's just a title that's mentioned that's there. But in the time of the Quraysh that we find, only these two individuals mentioned inside the Quran. And there could be a reasoning for that to send a lesson to us. Other than whenever the Quran does not disclose the name, we don't need to get so bogged down in what to decipher it. Look at a concept. People who question or reject the last day, don't believe in the last day, want to make a mockery of the last day. And that's why these people, they try to mockery in the form of trying to hasten it. That's why Allah mentions at another place inside the Quran, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوهُ. Inside Surah Al-Nahl, Allah mentioned, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوهُ. The command of Allah, the last day of Allah has come. Don't try to hasten it. Don't try to bring it earlier than its time or make a joke about it. And the strange thing about this surah, Ata, is fi'l ma'adhi. Ata, and likewise sa'ala, is fi'l ma'adhi. Like when Abbas, a certain surah, the Imam Suyuti inside his Al-Itqan speaks about way surahs begin inside the Quran. How they begin, there's a deep science about that. Why Allah chose certain verbs, certain words, al-musabbihat, or certain haruf al-muqatti'at, certain words, certain phrases, how he began with them in certain surahs. Everything inside the Quran is dynamic, is unique of how Allah describes it. Inside his words, subhanahu wa ta'ala, lil-kafirina laysa lahu dafi'. So this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to come. They cannot prevent it. People who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot prevent the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes upon them, whether it be inside this dunya, or it comes inside al-akhirah, min Allahi dhil ma'arij. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ascension. That's why you find the ulama here describe uluwullah. The loftiness, the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulu al-sifa. With that, high above his creation is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Quran, you know, people go into academics and rhetoric and theology and dogma and philosophy. The Quran is so simple. When the Quran speaks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa, seven places inside the Quran. The Quranic language is easy to understand. As-su'ud ilayhi yas'adu al-kalimu al-tayyib. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, the lofty word goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Allah descends the angels, descends mercy, descends forgiveness. We don't need to dissect it and say, no, it doesn't mean this. Laysa kamithli shay wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself inside the Quran. And nothing is like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is a simple language, simple understanding. Only a few things that you need to then consult. Quran has a generic creed, a generic belief. That Allah, the natural fitrah of the human being is what? Is to implore, raise your eyes, raise your heart, raise your mind to where? To the heavens. That you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens. كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِي. That you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a simple belief. We don't need a long dissertation, long discussions about it. Simple people have a simple understanding, a simple life, simple belief. But we begin to mesmerize people's belief about what they need to believe in. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala travels the word. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes the dua of the believer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ. And the angels and the ruh amma Jibreel alayhi salam travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or وَالْرُوحُ بِمَعْنَى the soul. That when the individuals we mentioned leave this dunya, this world, that it travels up. It goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the famous hadith that we find in Bara' ibn Azim, when the soul travels up to the heavens. When it's a good soul and it comes to the heavens, it's asked, who is this soul? Firstly, they wrap it up in a good cloth with beautiful fragrance. And as it travels from each stage to each stage, the angels praise it and say, this is so-and-so, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, of so-and-so. And it comes up to the heavens and then Allah says, open the doors for this individual. Let him enter. Let him come. Let him see. And then the opposite of the soul, which is a wicked soul, how it begins difficult to leave the body. And it begins to try to traverse, make that journey, gets prevented. Who is this individual? The son of so-and-so, a wicked individual, a bad individual, foul soul, foul stench, foul belief, foul actions. And anything on the face of earth is to smell that soul, smell that body, that dead corpse. Lying inside the grave, it will destroy that stench of that individual. But Allah conceals it for what reason? Conceals it for a certain reason, covers it up for a reason. To awaken us inside our lives. That if Allah was to expose the dead people now on the face of this earth, what would happen to many of us? But that soul is never given permission to go beyond. The law is heavens. It's flung down. That's what Allah mentioned in the hadith that contained these individuals. لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ They'll never enter into paradise. Until what? You find that the camel goes through the eye of the needle. مُسْتَحِيل A camel can never go through the eye of a needle. Meaning those who commit shirk بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى Pure shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَاتُوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ Die upon that. They will never ever go to Jannah. Never ever. That's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find في يوم كان مقدار خمسين ألف سنة This day is equivalent to 50,000 years. Ibn Kathir lists four things, interpretation. What is khamsina alfa sana? What is 50,000 years? He says, this is either the distance between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala down to the lowest heaven. Or is the distance of the soul going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it's the time span. Time span of the creation of this earth. It has 50,000 years to remain for. Wal ilmu inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it begins, when it ends, is one interpretation. Another interpretation mentions that khamsina alfa sana is yawmul qiyamah. Is another day name for Yawm al-Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasbir sabran jameela. So what does the last day entail? Look at the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasbir sabran jameela. Have a strong, beautiful patience. To get to the last day, it requires patience. Al-habs, controlling oneself. You don't get to the last day just simply being hasty inside your life. Person needs to be patient inside their life. There's another place in the Quran Allah mentioned, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ Inside Surah Yusuf, Allah mentioned, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ What a beautiful patience that Yaqub had. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ Allah is far removed from what they attribute to him or attribute to him, to Yaqub and to Yusuf, alayhi salam. As we find, Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, أَصَبْر بِدُونِ شَكْوَى Patience without any complaint. So some of us be patient, but we complain. This, oh, we should have been like this, if only that, if only that. That's not patience. That's not patience. Patience is that you're controlling, just that you have to control the environment around you, you have to control, restrain your tongue, restrain your mind for sabrun, fasbir sabran jameela. And that's why even the previous two surahs before that, Allah mentioned about dhunnun, about Yunus alayhi salam. Don't become kasahib al-hoot, the companion of the whale. Then what happened? He lost patience with his people. You have to persevere inside your life in giving da'wah. And then the following surah that's going to come out is Surah Nuh. It's nothing but patience. Again, look how the Quran builds up. Speaks about destruction, speaks about certain things, and it trains us. Trains the prophets. It's a life of patience. Wasbir. Be patient like those individuals. Kama sabara ul azmi min rusul. As those five lofty, strong prophets were patient inside their life. Develop patience inside your life. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا They see it something far away, the last day. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا We see it something close by. Disbelievers see the last day as something far away. An imagination, a figment of the mind. A lost mirage in the mind of human beings or amongst you Muslims. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا The believer sees it close by. The believer sees the last day is close by. That's how the believer sees it. And as we find in some narration mentioned Muslim Ahmad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease it on that day. And like Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُخَفِّفُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ Allah makes it light on that day, easy for the believers on that day. That you see it far away, we see it very close. And the believers will see it something light and easy on that day. يَوْمَ تَقُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ Once again, the depiction inside Surah Al-Haqqa about the last day, Allah continues the theme. When you see that the heavens or the sky, كَالْمُهْلِ It becomes like boiled oil, lead, copper. Boiled. These elements, metallic elements, take a lot of heat. And that's how it becomes like these heavens that we see just becomes like a soft liquid. That it becomes وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِهْنِ And you find that the mountains become just like wool. And so Surah Al-Qari'ah كَالْإِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ Separated wool. These great germs, these great mountains that you see, just like they go up into the sky, they penetrate into the earth. What happens to these mountains? They turn into a cotton wool. That you just fluster away, take it away. This great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how the last day is going to be. Everything that we visualize, Allah will dismantle it. Look at Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd chapter of the Quran, speaking about the last day, how it begins. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this depiction of the last day. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَ وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَ وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ You're going to see people in a state of drunkenness, running helter-skelter all over the place. You find that the pregnant woman will drop her load. The breastfeeding mother will throw the child away. People will be in that state. Why? Because this is the last day that everything will change. Everything that we dream about, everything that we perceive, Allah will alternate, will change it. For what purpose? To show us the power as we began with, the power and the might and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ تُبَدُّ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ Surah Ibrahim. You know, even these places inside the Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, you expect to speak about soft ayat, about Hajj. Surah Ibrahim speak about, once again, journey of Hajj. But look right inside the cluster of this ayat, how Allah speaks about the gathering, the mahshar, the coming together. Hajj is a display about how, just like millions would gather, how on the day of judgment we'll be there. We'll be there standing there in a basic garment, not even a basic garment anymore, in a state of nudity, uncircumcised, barefooted, destitute, unclothed, naked individuals standing there in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ Just like we brought you in the face of this earth in the beginning, we're going to bring you back again. وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ Promise of Allah. إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ That's something that we're going to do. No one can challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth, or inside the heavens, on the earth, or inside the akhirah. He's going to bring every single individual on the gathering on that day, on the plains, in front of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should be enough to a fearfulness inside an individual of coming in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you find all this depiction. Then Allah mentions, وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا Look at the language of the Quran. Person, their best, their close friend, their beloved ones, people close to them. No one's going to ask about another individual. And Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Kathir lists many ayat inside his tafsir of this similar concept. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ When the trumpet is blown, فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ There's going to be no lineage. There's no friendship. There's no family members. There's no father. There's no mother. There's no son. There's no daughter. There's no tribe. There's no nation. There's no affiliation. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ The person flees away from their companion, their friend, their mother, their father, their clan, their tribe, from everyone. A person flees away from that. For what purpose? To show them there's no relationship on that day in standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ Then Allah will get to show, everyone will see another individual. يُوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ Then that per mujrim will say, oh, if only I could rescue myself with my children. Or with specifically my sons. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ With my wife and my brethren, my brothers. وَفَسِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِي And my tribesmen. My clan, my nation, took we who support me in this dunya. Maybe they come and rescue me on that day. وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِي And if only I had everybody in the face of this earth to rescue me. That's what a person is going to say. And as we mentioned then, what's going to happen? Exposure to the fire. And likewise inside Surah Abbas, Allah mentions, يَوْمَ يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ Person flees away from their own mother, their father, their children, flees away from it, runs away from it. Everybody has that fear that they're worried about in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَظَى Indeed, this is a fire that's going to come upon these individuals. We mentioned it's going to burn these individuals. تَدْعُوا مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى تَدْعُوا تُنَادِي The fire will call. Bring these people. As you find the creed of Ahlul Sunnah, the fire will speak. It will speak on that day. It will speak. Bring these people. Let them come. Inside Surah Qaf, they find هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيد Is there any more? Is there any more to come? Come, let them come, let them burn. More space be made for these individuals inside there, inside the punishment. That's why read these ayat or surahs inside the Quran that we find that depict the last day. From Surah Zumur onwards that we find, Surah Ahqaf onwards that we find, all speak about, there's no ahkam, it just speaks about al-akhirah. Speaks about the last day, what's going to take place in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then those individuals who are going to be given that exception, given to those individuals, or the traits or characteristics, or these people of Jahannam. As some ulama mentioned, the most concise ayat inside the Quran speaking about the human being are inside Surah Al-Ma'arij, depicting the good nature and the bad nature of the human being. وَجَمَعَ فَعُوْعَى وَجَمَعَ فَعُوْعَى These are the traits of this human being who deserves to go to Jahannam. He just compiles his wealth. فَعُوْعَى Just niggardly about, miserly about his wealth. Just holds fast to it. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا Man has been created in a state of haste. Hasty individual. This is how the Quran depicts a sifal amal lil bashar for the human beings. And then what happens by this individual? Either masaw sharu jazu'a. If some evil or some hardship touches him, he becomes irritable. He becomes upset. Becomes upset that now, if life is going smooth, then why is this obstacle there? Why is this test there? Why is this happening in my life? I'm just a normal individual passing by my life and what I need to do. Why is this come inside my life? That's not what creed and belief is. Allah wants to sift out people who really believe in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sift those people out. Then also we find, وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. When goodness is given to him, he prevents that goodness. Doesn't share that goodness. When it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And except for whom? إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. What does real prayer do? Real prayer leads you. Why is it a gathering? Why is prayer not inside your own home? What did the Prophet alayhi salam say? If I knew that people were not coming to the prayer, I would like to appoint an imam. In a hadith in Sunnah Abi Dawud, not mistaken, go to their homes and burn their homes down for the men of this ummah. I'll appoint someone else to lead the prayer and I'll go there. So prayer isn't fixed that you pray in your own time, in your own capacity. There's reasons why the congregation is there. One, to join that farida obligation. And secondly, to see the community. See who needs help in the community, who needs support in the community, who's going through some hardships inside the community. That's what it is. It's a community. The prayer is a congregation of people and community. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Always inside their prayers, as we mentioned. And Ibn Kathir mentioned that these ayat about people of Jannah, the prayers mentioned in the beginning and in the end of their characteristics. Just like Surah Al-Mu'minun. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are focused inside their prayer in the beginning and the end. These are individuals, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ. They are going to go into paradise, and what a noble place it will be. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all the bad traits and characteristics of those individuals who are heading towards that direction, towards a lover, Allah then subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the characteristics of the believing individuals. Then highlights after as-salah that what are the actions that these individuals are carrying out inside their lives. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. Because we mentioned, we began with, many of us have just condensed our Islam and our belief in certain things. Thus we said, look at Islam totality in its total complex, what the Quran describes about believing individuals. As we began with the calamities, destructions, or hardships, what happens? What's the default result of these actions that take place on the face of this earth? Allah describes, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. There's a right. There's a right that belongs to these people from your wealth. The Islamic concept that they have a right to your wealth. So Allah places this calamity or this hardship, difficulty, they can then open up the doors for them to have a right towards your wealth. That's why Allah does it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْحِكْمَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. For the one who asks. Somebody may come and ask you, or whatever charitable organization, maybe they ask you, give it to them. وَالْمَحْرُومِ. That you find the hidden people. Or some ulama said, a person who may be traveling and they've lost their wealth, and you support that at a moment in time. Or it means you go and find the people who need it. You search for them. And you give them the wealth to support them. And there's many people out there on the face of this earth who need that wealth. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. These are the real believers who carry out these charitable actions and they believe in the last day. They have that conviction. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. And they fear. They fear their Lord. They fear the last day. So that's why they do these charitable actions. That's why they do these actions. It's not because of people. They're fearful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me about my wealth, about my life, about my time. That the foot of son of Adam will not move until he's asked about four things. The other narrations, five things, will not move until he's asked about them. That all of us, these questions will be asked about them. Inside in the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi that we find. None of us will move on that day about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon each and every one of us. Inna adhaba rabbim ghayru ma'moon. You can't escape. Think that the punishment of Allah is not going to happen. Feel safe from it. Those people who fear, feel safe from makr Allah, from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one should feel safe about it. Think that I've been saved, I've been rescued. Person should be worried that I'm going to be asked on that day of judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions, look at the Quran. You know, some of the traits inside the Quran, they're very deep. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us today. So those things could seem far away. Maybe those are certain societal issues that we find inside our society. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Look at the context. Just like in today's world, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who guard their chastity, guard their dignity. Those are real believing individuals. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Except for upon their wives and what their right hands possess. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Whoever seeks any other means of pleasure, which is allowed inside Islam, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ الظَّالِمُونَ. They are the oppressing individuals going towards munkarat. These societal problems that we find inside our society, this is what Islam is tackling. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ, he promised. What did he say? Adman, I give a promise. A guarantee for a person, I guarantee them paradise. What do they need to do? Whoever guards what's between the two jaws and guards what's between the two legs, Adman lahul Jannah. I guarantee for that person a place in paradise. Study these words of the Prophet. Look at it deeply. Either we're loose with our tongues. Even people practice their deen, what they're busy doing. And we've made many ishadat time and time again. Ghiba, backbiting, slandering, this, gossiping, saying this, saying that, doing this. And then the other half, what? Can't control their private parts. Can't control their lust and their desires. So Allah tells us things inside the Quran that remain for eternity. It's for every single moment and time. Allah knows. Allah ya'lamu man khalaq al-bashar. He knows. Tabiatul insan knows the nature of the human being. So Allah says, do these actions. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Sexual promiscuity inside our society. What is the spreading of AIDS inside our society? Go and study it. It's clear. Sexually transmitted diseases of relationships outside of wedlock, outside of marriage. All these munkarat, fawahish that we find, that we become tacit inside our lives. Can become tacit to it. This is the core reason why we find these diseases there. You find in Sunan Abi Dawood that we find when people begin to have these relationships and diseases will spread inside society and there will be no cure for that disease. There will be no cure. No cure has been found to this day. There's no cure that's found for AIDS. There's many ulama interpreting this hadith going towards that. The world of AIDS. How does it spread? Either via sexually transmitted diseases or via the taking or sharing of needles of drug abuse that we find in general. These are two most positive ways they become HIV positive inside society. And what does Islam say? Preserve, guard your chastity, guard your honor, guard your dignity, guard yourself, preserve yourself. These are the people who are going to enter into paradise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Then it continues that some of us think that maybe I'm an elderly individual. So Allah then mentions, after that, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. People are truthful in their covenants, in their agreements. They're truthful when they deal with people. That's another problem inside our society. Because many of us, we practice Islam for our own purpose, our own intent. And you can ask us, Imams, how many people, when it comes to their own personal interest, they don't apply the Quran and Sunnah then. They don't apply it then. Because now it's a family feud. It's a family issue. It's my son, it's my daughter, it's my property, it's my life, it's my personal interest. It concerns me. So now I need to find some way to justify it. That's not being truthful to our covenants, to our agreements. That's why we find these problems inside our society, that people break covenants, break agreements, break promises. These are all vices inside our society. We don't want to tackle them. We don't want to speak about them, whether in a minor level or global level that we find. And in conclusion that we find, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَدَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. They are witnessing a testimony. قَائِمُونَ. We're truthful individuals. Inside the end of Surah Al-Furqan as well, Allah speaks about believing individuals are truthful. Whether it's upon your own self, you're truthful. You're a just individual. Read the seerah of the Prophet somehow when they went to Najashi. They could have lied about certain things, but Abu Sufyan, who was even a disbelieving individual at the time, he was forced to speak the truth. He knew to speak the truth. That's what a Muslim is. And he was a non-Muslim and he spoke the truth. That person is truthful in everything that they carry out inside their life. And then Allah gives the warning how these people want to derail, once again, as we mentioned, away from the disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah gives that warning as we began in the beginning of this surah about the last day. Allah then promises the coming of this last day. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. You find that their eyes will be overcome and disgrace will come upon these individuals. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ. This is the day that they've been promised. So just as we began with this coming of the last day is a reality, we need to instill within ourselves, inside our lives, that every single day, there's a circumstance of last week to this week have changed. And any one of our circumstances can change. And that's why we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afiyah, of calm, of peace, of forgiveness, of tranquility. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wa-al-afafa wa-al-ghina. I ask you for piety, for richness, for peace, for tranquility. And not to take away the ni'am, the blessings that you bestowed upon me, upon ourselves. And don't turn these blessings into niqam. Ni'am into niqam. Turn these blessings into a form of punishment or hardship upon us. Keep us inside your protection. And we should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that in our daily life.